To have a good harvest, one must plant good seeds and must also use the right kind of fertilizer. The carrots have grown large and firm. How good they will taste.
Well, everybody, welcome back to the Backyard Gardens podcast. Yeah, you read the title right. We're going to go down the rabbit hole of companion planting today. And you know what that means. We're going to do like we did last year. And towards the middle-ish to end of the episode, we will be doing our own garden plan featuring the planter app. And we are going to test our knowledge of companion planting for the season of summer. That's right. So we're gonna take the test. It's going to be interesting. We'll definitely gain a little bit of knowledge through this. But I don't know. How do you feel about... Do you get test anxiety?
No.
You don't?
Mm-mm. I mean, generally, no.
Somebody's confident, everybody. We're going to see about this.
Well, I didn't say that I was confident. I just said I'm not anxious about it.
Because you know how it is. We got a 10 by 10 space, and each person gets a row, and we have to match each other. So we'll see. It was a lot of fun last time, so hopefully it will be fun this time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was an absolute blast. I mean, it's the best thing I've done in the past year.
Funky, cool, good time. Yeah.
But before we get started, everybody, check that link below to get yourself some seeds from yours truly, Miss Batavia and Young Ben. We're here for you. We got you for your direct sowed seeds this year. And because we hit 1 million downloads, we have a code, so 10% off, free pack of seeds. The code is 1 million. You can spell it any way you want. She had to work that bell in. I'm not even going to stop. Or you can use all numbers. We've put it in multiple ways so you can get it. So definitely check that out. And become a subscriber, patron, whatever you want to call it. Help support the show. Keep us on the air longer so we can keep you growing more food. There it is. Okay. So do you want to rehash the whole companion plant situation? Because this isn't just about a game. This is really a conversation about this.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what you mean by rehashing it. Are you just saying, do you want to summarize what companion planting is?
Go ahead.
I don't really want to. So the idea of companion planting is planting a combination of whether it's vegetables, herbs, or flowers, one or more of each of those, in close proximity. Close proximity. To gain some benefit. So, you know, the tried and true that we've heard about for eons is marigolds are companions to tomatoes, right? And the cool thing about the planter app is I'll be able to click in to see why it's described as a companion.
Yeah.
Which is the part that's always been difficult for me to kind of gather all the details for. And in turn, it's, you know, I've probably been a little bit skeptical about the effectiveness of companion planting.
Well,
maybe out of ignorance more so than fact.
No, it's not out of ignorance all the time.
Just some of the time.
Yeah, just no. Let me address that first before I get started. So I had a boss one time, and he always told me, he was like, "You know, I hired you," and I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "'Cause you're ignorant." And I was like, okay, thank you. And he was like, no, it's not bad. He was like, it just means that you don't know so I can teach you my way. Mm-hmm. So whenever you say like ignorance, it's like, I don't really consider it like bad because some of it is. But what I'm saying is some of it is just boo-boo. And, we kind of know that to an extent. But as we dive into this episode, we're clearly using the planter app. So I'm just going to say this. There's a link below to get a code to get you a discount on all of the memberships, lifetime, whatever. It's a substantial discount too. So definitely check that out. When we're done with this, and we'll try and time it out perfectly, where we will put the our garden plan onto our social medias and all that stuff for everybody to see what we came up with. Just so you can visually see it. But so you can use it on all, you get it in Apple and Google and all that stuff. And then you can use it on basically any device you have. But this will kind of serve as to help you guys with that. So, I don't think we talked about tomatoes and marigolds last time because we were focusing on the season. But I read an interesting paper. Maybe it was last fall. I don't remember. I'll try and find it and post it in the Backyard Gardens Community Garden Facebook group. They were saying that they did a test and it was the marigolds. This is going to break a lot of people's hearts. The marigolds only functioned as it's a trap crop, right? Mm-hmm. Basically. So, no, I take that back. It's not a trap crop. That's nasturtiums. It doesn't get its full potency. They basically figured out that you had to almost have a field of marigolds next to the crops that you were growing in order to get that benefit. And I think that's something that we don't, it's hard for us to understand when we do this. And I'm not saying that all of this doesn't work, because there are parts of this that work and parts that, you know, you and I use in our gardens. But sometimes it's just, it seems like it's a little bit of boo-boo. And it's like we get a piece of the information.
And I, 10 toes down, agree.
Oh, I thought it was going to be bad. Anytime I hear about toes, I think bad.
I scratched my toes up too when you said it for some reason. It freaked me out. That's my I'm trying not to step in it voice. So there are a number of things in the garden world, including companion planting, that I question whether or not we're doing enough of it to really gain the benefit. Right. You know, so there's some things I absolutely get wrapped around the axle about. This isn't one of them. And in large part, I've just not had the mental bandwidth to be able to really dig down to say, what's companion? Do I want to plant those things? And if I do, again, how much of it do I need to plant to really gain the benefit from it? I don't like to do things just to do them.
Yeah.
Right now I plant marigolds, you know, around my tomatoes, not every year. You know, I'm a fan of marigolds in general, using that as an example, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's like the most common example for this time of year is marigolds and tomatoes. I think hands down, I mean, well, there's another one too that we'll get into. I like marigolds as well. And a lot of people that grow flowers are like, how do you like marigolds? They're ridiculous. I'm like, I don't know. I just like them. You know, I remember when I first started gardening, I planted them next to my tomatoes. And I remember being like, it actually worked. That's so many tomatoes. And then now that I look back at it, I'm like, wait, you planted a determinate tomato and it threw all the tomatoes out at once. Of course it worked. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't make any sense. But, you know, one of the big things about companion planting, and if you really want to know my in-depth personal thoughts about companion planting, how I manage it in my garden, I'm going to have to direct you over to Sandy Bottom Homestead on YouTube, because I just did a video about it. You'll have to poke around because I didn't put companion planting in the title. I don't know why I didn't. Maybe I should add that. But it caused crippling confusion, there's a title, in my garden. And It was really a bad process for me to kind of manage it. And as I've looked into it more and more, you know, it's the pest pressure and aspects of it to me is just not there. I have not seen the real benefits of it, but there's other aspects of it that I do not only believe in, but it can understand and wrap my head around. You know, and I think sometimes when it comes to this stuff, like whatever you can wrap your head around and understand, I think is the best starting point to like jump off into this whole, you know, excursion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the idea of, you know, does it hurt? If it doesn't hurt, you know, does it help? And if it helps, do you have, again, the capacity to be able to, you know, apply it?
Yeah.
There's a lot to learn about growing vegetables and herbs and fruit and, you know, and flowers. And you just got to take it one bite at a time. And so companion planting, like the theory of it, it floats my boat. Like I get it. I dig it, you know. However, unless you're going to tell me it's a single crop that benefits everything, I don't know if that's my jam. So the theory of it all, you know, the idea of one thing complementing another in the garden, like, that's beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my jam, right? The complexity, and the it's complex because of, like, quantity in plain terms, like the number of different combinations of things that could be considered companion planting. And then they're probably, if we put on one hand, one, you know, a few different reasons why something would be a companion plant. Right. You know, and so when you kind of factor all of that in, you have probably hundreds of combinations, and that becomes too much for my brain.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and that in turn leads me to be less interested.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's a reason why I did what the opposite of like a great content creator would do, you know, a host. And I told you, like, right out in the open, the thing I read about the marigolds and tomatoes. I should have said, like, wait till the end and it will tell you the secrets. But the reason why I brought it up is because throughout this show, I really want you to remember what I said about that. Because as a whole, if you take your gardens, and you have to remember, too, it's a lot of times with companion planting, it's not about, you know, the plant in the air next to each other. It's about the plant in the soil next to each other. And the reason why I say that is if you have multiple raised beds, then it's like you have to treat one part of it for the roots and then the other part for, like, you know, pheromones or, you know, whatever that go out into the air. I'm not going to get super technical because nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, to go out into the air. So then you're like trying to balance all this stuff. And, you know, the reason why it got so overwhelming for me is because it was like, okay, I want to eliminate, let's just use a squash bug. Everybody's asking about the squash bug right now. I want to eliminate the squash bug. What can I plant to eliminate the squash bug? Which, by the way, I'm not going to give you an answer to that because I haven't found one. We're going to be hypothetical. It's the only thing I think of. But if I could, and it was like, well, this plant will, you know, let's just say green beans will eliminate the squash bug, but it has to be in the soil with it. Then I have to plant the beans with it. But if it was like, or the smell of the leaves will attract the squash bug away from it, and then the green beans would kill it, you know? And so it's like, okay, so then it doesn't have to be in the soil. So then you start getting all of these like mixed paths that you have to go down and really figure out. And it got really, I mean, it almost got nauseating because your head would just spin trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. And this is, you know, it's going to come across as an infomercial, but this is like, again, the dripping of information is the way that I process a lot of this in the garden. Yeah. Every year I'm learning something, but I'm learning it at my own pace. Sometimes it's out of absolute necessity. I have to dig into something because I'm experiencing it or I've committed to try something. Right. And then other ways, it's just I come across this knowledge. So the infomercial of it all, when you look at the planter app, there are two things that it flags. The green circle is, as far as I understand, tell me if I'm wrong, it's these two crops are companions. Yep. The red circle is they're combative. Yep. And then no circle is just that they're plants.
Yep.
So in my mind, when I process this, when I look at one of my garden beds that from the spring I would have peas in, sweet peas. Oh, sweet peas. And then the next season I plan on putting sweet corn. Mm-hmm. You told me I would come back to it. So here I am. Like, I'm looking at it and it's saying that those are companions. Now, generally speaking, they're not going to be in the garden at the same full time, you know, but I now look at this and say, meaning, you know, peas will finish out, then corn will be taking off. But I look at this and I kind of file it away like, okay, these are friends.
You
and I move on. I don't mean that I'm not doing anything more about it. I'm not even trying to determine for those two crops why they're companions, why they're bosom buddies, you know.
You know, Batavia, I have to tell you, there's a reason why I love you, and it's because you're talking and you brought up a subject that I did not want you to bring up, And you looked away at the exact moment when I rolled my eyes at you. So,
and you feel so strongly about it that you want to make sure you highlight the moment that basically I avoided since I looked away.
I'm not hiding the fact that I rolled my eyes. I would have done it if you were looking at me, but it just saved you so you could finish your thought. No, and that's like, that's a whole nother episode. Leonard, take a note. As like what to plant after something, because that's not even like, that's not even companion, but it's so important. That's an important conversation I had. And I don't know. Can we take a quick vote of the three of us? Anybody want to do an episode on that? Raise your hand. Say aye. Majority rules. There'll be an episode coming up on that very soon, because that is like the next piece to the puzzle. But and I can see where you would get confused by that. I'm not saying you were confused. I may have misinterpreted what you said. But, you know, planting behind something like that is like, it's like, okay, well, I made it all this effort and I didn't plant my peppers and tomatoes together. Okay, so cool, same families, separate. But then what do I put in behind it? And so then you start going, and it's like this vicious cycle. Because I can tell you that it does make a difference. That makes a difference. I've experienced that this year.
So the interesting thing with that is I brought it up because
we're about to get scientific and I really don't want to.
No, I'm not. You know, so there's companion planting, there's, you know, combative crops, right? And then there's interplanting. Like I kind of throw those all into the one day. I will feel uber comfortable about all of the things associated with that. That's not this day. I use the, you know, peas, then sweet corn as an example, just to highlight, you can actually find something that's going to be a companion through the app. But it's also kind of a default for me because a lot of my crops in the same space are the same crop, you know, so I'm not doing a lot of, and yeah, sure, I'm doing more monocropping, which I just hate to even use the term, than I am, you know, kind of randomly planting things. I am slowly trying to move into that direction. And that's more about trying to have more diversity in my garden than anything else. But, you know, forget my circumstances of those two crops in particular, but just focus on, you're able to look at two crops sitting side by side. And the only reason why they're flagged is the way that I have my garden designed. Yeah. One row represents spring, one row represents summer, and one row represents fall for that bit. Oh. Right? That's the way my mind works.
Oh, you did
right?
Some like Lord Xenu stuff on yours. Good night.
I'm just telling you.
Matt. Woo. Mm-hmm. I would hate to look at your planter app. I'm just going ahead.
That's the way my mind works, though. I can look, but it goes back to the future episode of I can look across the season for this bed. What do I want to plant after the peas? Oh. So again,
I'm getting
we're
woozy
not digging
thinking,
into that.
I'm getting woozy thinking about how you look at this. But I'm intrigued. I'm cool with it. Yeah, it's you know, I will say this though, and I want to use your example. Just to kind of touch as maybe like a quick teaser. This is, you guys get a quick insight in how fast my mind works sometimes. And sometimes it works very slow. But you talk about peas and corn. Well, you know, one of the things that kind of starts to tie everything together is I would imagine without looking into it at all that that would be a great crop to put behind your peas because the peas have nitrogen nodules that if you leave the roots in the ground, they break down. Corn's very nitrogen hungry, will grow and use up that nitrogen. So, you know, when you start learning things about the plants, you can kind of start to put it together into the same, you know, into the same world. So we know certain things about certain plants and, you know, everybody's gonna, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I just got a new surfboard made. It's like a dream come true. Just got it last night. And I was talking to him and, dude was saying, he's like, yeah, I started a garden during COVID. And I was like, yeah, you and everybody else. And he's like, yeah. He's like, grew it 1 year, walked away. He's like, I grew in my beds. And I was like, let me guess, tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers. He's like, how'd you know? I'm like, because that's what everybody starts with, you know? And so he was like, but he started and he actually wants to get back into it again this year. But he was learning about those crops. So, you know, those plants you're going to learn more about because you're going to grow them longer. Like, there's a lot of tomato experts in the world. There's a lot of self-righteous tomato experts. There's a lot of real tomato experts. There's a lot of people who have a lot of experience with tomatoes. And you can build off of that knowledge and go into the next start. So you can start to make these decisions, because we know when we go into it, like, I've said this on the show before, but it's directly related to this. In the summertime, I remember when I first started getting wind, like, not wind, but I really started to look into companion planting. I came across something that said tomatoes and peppers are grown great together. And so I planted them together. And I had huge plants, biggest plants I've ever had. And then I go to do it again next year. And, you know, the way I operate is I'll look it up one year, I'll act upon it. And then the next year I'll kind of go back and like double check if I was right, just to kind of see. And then I start seeing that like they're not companions. They don't do well together. And I'm like, okay, well, if they don't do well together, then why did they do well together? Like, what am I missing here? Is there some piece to the puzzle that I didn't get? Because, first of all, I had one place say that it was great. I had, like, five other places that said it wasn't great. Now, granted, I should have maybe listened to the five other places. But if I didn't have that accident, then I wouldn't have known that it would have grown so well. So then that kind of made me start putting things together in my head. I have thoughts on why, but I'll let Batavia have her thought, because I forgot to get water.
I'll be sure. My whole concept here, though, is, you know, let me take a step back. I typically, let me take a step back from my entire concept. I typically operate on a do no harm method, right? So for a bunch of years in my garden, you know, I didn't care about what didn't like what. I didn't even know that really was a thing, right? I grew food, you know, not tons of it, but I grew food. You know, I think, and I could just be underestimating it. I think looking back on previous years, those first, you know, 6, 7 years, 8 years, it was probably, I didn't know that the plant should produce more. And then when I started to figure like, oh, wait, hold on, shouldn't I get more from this? That was the problem I was chasing, you know, like, I feel like I should get more from these plants. What's the deal? And that tied, I believe, firmly to the nutrients in the soil feeding those plants. But again, that's another topic. So sharing that, though, to say, in all of these years of gardening, it's not that I've had all of these years to study these things. This is no doubt maybe the last 10 years or less that I have understood the concept of companion planting, combative planting, you know, all of that.
Understood, right? quote unquote.
Yeah, air quotes. And, you know, probably half of that I've decided to care.
Yeah.
You know? So, and again, this isn't just, you know, if you look back, if you've listened to all episodes of the Backyard Gardens podcast, you may hear some theme where it comes across as if I'm poo-pooing on companion planting. And that's because I was. And, you know, I'm still on that soapbox a bit, you know.
Yeah.
So I look at it as, I think that for people that get it, I believe it's probably very helpful.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt that it could help me in my garden, but I'm trading off on kind of those benefits that maybe I'm not experiencing for the time that I save in kind of doing that research and truly learning about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I want to say this though, and I'm talking to you, and yes, you are my favorite listener. I'm talking to you directly. If you don't do companion planting, like, don't freak out about it, because my story is the same as yours. Dude, I was just throwing stuff in the ground for years. I mean, I think the only thing I had heard of was tomatoes and marigolds. And I was like, well, I want a flower and I want tomatoes, so okay. But other than that, like, it didn't really matter to me. And I grew plenty of food. I will say, over the years, as I have developed my own method of gardening, not adopted a method, but just kind of developed my own, which is basically just like mixtures of things and pieces and parts and what I feel comfortable with and what I like. I am growing more food than I have, and each year I do usually grow more and more, but I've developed this over time And it's one of those things where it's like you learn what to adopt and what not to adopt, you know. One of the big things about companion planting, and if you think about it, is the feeding desires of the plant. So in the spring, it's super easy, in my opinion. In cool weather, it's super easy. You got root crops and you've got leaf vegetables. Well, root crops don't like a lot of nitrogen. Leaf vegetables do. So it's kind of like pretty basic. You know what I mean? This time of year, it's a little bit different. So we have to kind of keep that in mind. And I think the way companion planting really... See, I use fertilizer. I use a lot of fertilizer. When I started using fertilizer, I became much more productive. And I think what companion planting is really geared for is minimizing the amount of fertilizer needed to grow inside of a garden. I think that's what it's really meant for. Because if you look at it and you look at farms that are monocropping, or maybe is it bicropping if they're growing two? It's a new term, we'll take it. You know, they're using huge fields and they'll plant. Maybe they sell marigolds and they say sell tomatoes, you know, and so they'll plant two huge fields of it. Yeah, you're going to get the benefits because you've got a big mass of it. But outside of that, for the home gardener, you know, I just don't think that we have enough in our spaces to really make that much of a difference as a whole. But when it comes down to feeding crops, there are some. Like, you wouldn't want to put a really heavy feeder with another really heavy feeder because they're just going to fight for food the whole time, right? And that's where I think the problem was with the tomatoes and the peppers was they're really heavy feeders. But lucky for me, I fed them heavy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if we look at both and describe them both as heavy feeders as the general description, all soil isn't equal, right? Yeah. You know, so
my soil is equal. Already, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not soil blind.
What you plant in your garden, one pepper plant, one tomato plant, and I plant the same in my garden, what they are feeding from could be different. Maybe I happened to, when I wrapped up last season, really focused on, you know, adding organic matter to the garden, and maybe it's a new garden bed. So maybe everything is fresh in my garden space where I'm growing those two plants, you know, and maybe I was very diligent around, you know, planting and adding some additional fertilizer, you know, and things went swimmingly well. And then maybe in your space, maybe it's a 5-year-old bed, right? That's continued to, you know, plants have continued to consume what's in that bed. You know, maybe you went lighter with compost. Maybe you didn't add any soil, right? You know, maybe you new soil. Maybe you did come in with additional fertilizer, right? We're going to have a different experience plant to plant. And that's before we even get into weather, water needs, you know. So I think that while I say, you know, it may sound like I'm poo-pooing companion planting, I'm not anti it. I think it's one of those things that I believe that can be beneficial. I believe that it's a bit of an afterthought for me. That's how I feel like I approach it. And it all comes down to kind of bandwidth. If it were easier, if it was, again, just flat out, these are the three things that you should plant with, you know, these 10 crops, then I'd probably be doing it every day. But it's not that. And so in turn, I learn what I can learn as I go along. And many times I'll adopt it, you know, like these two things like each other. But I'm not going back and saying, you know, ooh, you said these two things like each other. They don't seem to be liking each other mid-season. You know, like that kind of is what it is.
I will say this, and I mean, I could end the whole show on this statement. I truly believe that. Companion planting made me not want to garden when I first got into it. that's how it made me feel, because it was so overwhelming. And I mean, anything that does that to me, I don't really support that much. It was really tough. I remember standing in my garden trying to make a plan, practicing what we preach on this show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this was actually, I think, I started really companion planning the year we started the show. I was about 3 years into kind of working it into my plan a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I remember the second year in, I was just like, I'm done. Like, I don't even know if I want to grow a garden this year. It was so confusing to me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really getting the results I wanted. So on that aspect, I don't really support it. But what I do support is combative planting. And we said that in the last episode where we did it for cool weather. And I stand by it for this too, because I think that's more important to know, because there are definitely some crops that you just should not plant with other ones. And you can narrow it down a lot faster. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you can narrow down what you should not plant a lot faster than what you can plant with. So, you know, for example, I would not plant in a bed, and I've tried this, in a bed. Now, I said that I would do tomatoes and peppers, but if my beds were big enough, I would not do tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. It's just too much in one bed. You know, I wouldn't put sweet potatoes and corn in a bed. I'm pretty sure they're combative. You know, I wouldn't put those right next to each other. So, you know, you can really narrow it down and say, because you have to remember, if you go in the plant trap and you're going to make it your design and you don't see a circle, plant it. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make a difference. And I think that's something that was really important. And when I finally came to the realization of like, screw it, I'm going to do what I do, it got a lot easier and I was able to manage it. And if I needed to feed more, fine. If I needed to treat more, fine. Mm-hmm. I could do that because, you know, pest deterrence, everybody, I feel like when you get into gardening, it's like your dream is like there's not going to be any pests. You're going to walk out there and the butterfly is going to land on the tip of your nose and kiss you on the forehead in the morning. The bees are going to be buzzing. The tomatoes will be jumping off into your basket. And you get out there and you're like, damn, what's this squash bug? What's this vine borer? What's this leaf, septoria leaf spot? What's this blight? You know, you got all this stuff going on. And it's like, I have all these issues. Well, guess what? So does everybody else. That's why they make crops with the pesticides built into the DNA, because that's the way it is. That's the circle of life. We just have to find out a way to manage that within, and you are giving me weird looks. Mm-hmm. But we have to find a way to manage that, you know?
Yeah, and just to clarify, if I were growing four things in my garden, four different types of things, then I probably would drill down and understand what are the companions to those four things. And I feel pretty good about just knowing myself. I would likely be planting based on that, right? I think, again, the quantity that you and I are growing makes kind of studying that a little bit more difficult. The planter app does make it a bit easier. I also selfishly want to plant some things in certain spaces because of the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
Unselfishly, based on my garden configuration, some things just work better in some places than others.
Right.
You know, so I did check really quickly, and I'm going to steal the thunder of sweet potatoes and corn don't seem to have a conflict, nor are they companions.
Okay.
I have a spot right now in the cage baby designated for sweet potatoes, and I have not grown corn in the cage baby because I think that the top of the cage is too low. I think that corn would probably grow a bit taller. And so, you know, that's one of those things where I would never, they're clear to plant together based on this. I would not plant them together because of that. The cool thing about something like corn and sweet potatoes, I know you just randomly selected those, is generally speaking, you'd be planting them around the same time. And you know how sweet potato vines run wild. Your corn should very much outgrow, obviously, in height, the sweet potatoes. You may even find that your sweet potatoes start to climb the corn. So, anywho, you know, companions for a different reason, not necessarily by the garden book, but they work, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because before we play our game, I want to quickly talk about the three sisters planting. That's corn, squash, and beans. That's a very common combination. Am I incorrect? That's talked about. Mm-hmm. Have you grown them like that before?
Not based on the historical reference of those three.
Right.
Because and it took me a couple of seasons when I had planned on doing it to realize the beans are generally recommended to be dry beans, dried beans, beans that are going to be dried on the vine.
Okay.
It took me a lot to get that out versus like your fresh beans.
Do you know why that is?
I think it may be just, I don't know. I think it may be just out of convenience. You know, you don't have to worry about continuing to get in there and try to harvest those fresh beans.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody last year. I've talked to a few people. And they're like, man, I don't know anybody who's grown it that way. Nobody. Mm-hmm. But everybody talks about the three sisters planting. And so it's interesting because the way I look at it is like, I look at the green beans. I look at beans in general. Like I grow cowpeas. Black-eyed peas, as I like to call them. If I call them black-eyed peas, everybody's like, what's that? But I grow black-eyed peas. You let them dry on the vine. But I look at how they grow, and I'm like, man, if I grew that with the corn, the corn would die. It would strangle the crap out of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't fully understand it. And I haven't done – I'm not really interested in doing it just because that's not the way my garden is grown. And my space isn't – you know, that needs to be a big space because, you know, we need to grow big blocks of corn and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, and I've dug into it a few different times. I think that's a really good example of how a concept, it's like the game, the telephone game, it's taken and then person to person to person, it lose whatever the original trueness was. Right. You know, so if I'm going to look this up once we get done. So if I'm wrong about the dried beans, you know, write your congressperson.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Don't write us,
write
somebody else.
But I've seen, when I've looked into this before and I've seen people like share online when they do it, you know, and then like some historical places that have done it, the spaces are pretty big. And, you know, we'll take a shortcut if we can. You know, we'll have something like, all right, I'm going to take my, you know, 4x4 foot spot and do that. Well, you know, ideally, you probably want a little bit more space. So anywho, again, it's the I'm stopping short of saying, you know, the things that the concepts that we take and then ultimately they're bastardized. Unintentionally, to be fair. I'm sure there's something in gardening that I've done the same thing for, you know. So yeah, it's just one of those things. I think if there's a message before we get into the fun part of the episode, thanks for sticking around. If there's a message to share, it looks more like don't let it get you down if you're still trying to pick up what companion planting means for you in your garden. If I had to say anything, you know, I'd recommend taking a similar approach, like the do no harm, focusing on the combative plants. You know, and if it's not a combative plant, then, hey, you may luck out and it may be a companion. So are you going to pull up the goodness of summer plants and build a garden for us?
Well, you know I am. And so here's the deal. We have a 10 by 10 garden. We have to live off this garden. So each one of us is going to plant a row. You can pick for your row whatever you want to grow. And the other person has to try and out of memory and knowledge go and try and get it to be a companion. The goal really is to not, let's just say, not have a combative planting.
Yeah. So, and a part of the experience is hitting the buzzer and then adjusting afterwards. That's me setting myself
up. We're playing Operation with gardenings, actually.
Yeah. So, wait, remind me, you and I collectively, our families are eating from this 10 by 10 space, right?
Yeah. So, and the reason why I say that is because you're welcome to put flowers in there, but we got to eat it. So, and I don't eat flowers. Okay. So remember that.
Yeah, yeah, good call out.
So
this is is this all of the food that we'll ever consume? Oh no.
And also you don't have to monocrop your row. You have to complete a row on your go. And so since you are the lady in the group, you get to go first because ladies go first. Don't do that. It's Southern charm.
I never believe. I just think it's an easy way out for you. I get out there. I'm hanging out there. So 10 by 10. So 10 spaces. I want to summer only.
Only.
I want to do, let's see. I'm going to do 2 pepper plants, hot pepper plants. Any hot pepper plant is fine.
Oh, Lord. You're going to break it down like that.
I think jalapenos are further up. That's the reason why. Yeah, there you go. So I'm going to do 2 pepper plants. I'm going to put them. Mm-mm.
Oh, you're going to be real picky. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to put them with a space. They're going to cover 3 square feet. So block 1 pepper plant, block 2 space, block 3 pepper plant.
Oh, you're going to give extra space?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like this already.
I know. I'm trying to do the right thing for the planting. I'm going to do, it's rude of me, but I'm going to start off with a tomato plant. Now, my logic here, because I'm in the first row, is this tomato plant will take up some additional space, because what he's looking at me now and saying, now you're all in my row,
sorry,
for the second row.
Sorry.
Because it takes 4 square feet. But some of that tomato plant is going to fall over on the other side of, you know, the walkway.
We're
going to
grow this billy goat up. We're going to squeeze it in there. So don't worry. Go ahead. You want, how many you want?
I'm going to say 1, because I'm going to assume you're going to plant tomatoes.
You already got the buzzer. I just told you it's so combative.
Yeah, we got a red dot. Because you know, you and I both know listen. We plant our gardens this way.
She don't listen.
No, never. Why did we get a red dot for putting the peppers next to the tomatoes?
You want
to
know why?
Yeah, I want to know why. Because now I have to decide I'm going to do something different. So instead,
no, you don't get to go. You don't get to go back. This is a
I just can't eat from that square now?
No, we'll eat off. We're just going to have to deal with whatever problem is there.
Okay. Just so you know, he's quite literally making up the rules as he goes along.
Of course I am. That's the way a good game show host does it. So peppers will attract pests and depletes nutrients. So I subscribe to the deplete nutrients part. But we know how to combat that.
I think a good example of, what's the green icky worm?
Tomato hornworm?
Yeah, the hornworm. They'll attack both of those.
It's actually the American tobacco worm, but it's the tomato hornworm.
So both of those can be attacked. It will attack both of those plants, so I get it.
Never had it on a tomato plant.
I still plant my garden this way. All right, we're basically, you know, 0-for-1 already.
But you got to finish your row, and we got a limited amount of time.
Look, I'm finishing my row.
In other words, hurry up.
So my next thing is going to be okra. And I, too, am going to give it 2 spaces. And I'm just going to do 1 plant, though.
Okay.
I said just 1 plant.
I know, but it's taking up 2 spaces. I don't like gaps. It's okay. It's okay.
All
right. Just breathe.
Okay, go ahead and change my row. That's fine.
No. I just added it in there so there wasn't a gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to do on these last 3 rows, chard.
Oh, that's not a summer plant for me, but for you,
it's a summer plant for me.
Mm-hmm. I'll let it slide because it is for you.
Okay.
Damn, this is going to be a dream garden. And maybe I can't do anything. I'm going to put a limitation on me. I can't put anything that would grow in your area. You want 2?
So, no, just finish it a row with it. Because I get 5 rows, right?
Yeah. You get, you get 10. In there. So, and now I get 8 because you took over. So I'm going to add to your peppers because I like peppers. So I'm going to add to them and then I'm going to put in some bell peppers.
Okay. So he's at 4 plants total. 5, 6, 7. He's going to do a whole
peppers,
row of peppers.
I put my peppers 1 foot apart.
Okay.
So, because even though I don't like gaps, I will take yours out.
Okay. So that's 6 peppers. So collectively, we're going to have, 6, 7, 8 pepper plants in the garden so far. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
10 yep. pepper plants in the garden.
So I'm just doing a row of peppers.
All right. Can I skip to the other side of the garden?
No.
You know what? How about from now on, I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do.
You took my two spaces. That is rude.
Yeah. So I'm going to go all the way on the other side of the garden, my last row, and I'm going to do a row of corn. Oh, no, I can't. I have to compromise with you. Damn it. I don't want to plant a row of corn in a straight row. I want to plant it across at least two rows. So my buddy Ben, what do you think about doing a couple of rows
we'll
of corn?
We'll do a couple rows of corn, but we're not going
we
to
We can
the,
do half rows, right?
No, we'll do the whole rows because it's going to take a lot of corn because I like cornbread. And we're just going to go straight down.
Yeah, I was trying not to go straight down only because it's going to completely flag against everything that's in that second row. But you all will see this when he posts it. Clearly, we suck at this.
Well, you know what? No, because, I mean, this is... I will say this. Because you have to do a block of corn like this... I would say you almost have to skip a row just to keep it... Because we know as you go through, like, we both know... I don't know. I feel like I'm changing the rules. Never mind.
No, it's fine.
All
right.
Do you want to do the row going all the way down, or do you want to maybe split it and have it two half or four half rows?
I do four half rows.
That's what you want to do? It would be I think it would be better for pollination if we did that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so you get a half row to go with the corn while I move things over. Hey, if you're listening, I know you're listening. Peter, can you make it so that we can drag multiple crops at once over? Thank you. Go ahead, Batavia.
So, are you doing I'll let you finish with that. So I think, am I up for the next crop?
Yeah, you get five more to pick.
Yeah, for this to finish out the corn.
Yeah, you finish out
your
row.
So I'm assuming that this 10 by 10 spot allows me to walk somewhere in between. And so I want to put some herbs in.
Okay.
I'd like to do basil.
So here, you want rows to walk in? I can give us a solution. I'll send David in where we can't fit.
That's gonna be I'm gonna be able to get to four corners and that's it. So I'm gonna do basil and I'm gonna do basil on the border.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah, I can. Not the entire border, but so where we just split those rows, we basically did two and two.
You wanna go like this?
I wanna do right next to the pepper at the bottom. I'll do that. That'll be my basil.
Yeah,
that's not what I wanted to do.
Well, what do you want to add to it?
For short time. I wanted it to go from left to right, basil.
Oh, no, you have to go straight down.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything, but
in this garden,
I'll
you
go
do. Because I got to figure out, I think I definitely want to do some green beans, and I know that it doesn't take a lot, so I'm going to add green beans.
That's a good
I'll do a half row of green beans for us.
And then I am going to join you. I'm going to add another half row because it's
of green
a
beans.
Crop I like. Yep, a green beans. Okay. I'm going to double it up.
Fair enough. It'll probably take a lot of green beans to feed our families.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, oh man,
we have nothing sweet.
Yeah, I know. You see where I'm hovering.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
So we have nothing sweet. We have no real root crops yet, although it's summer, doesn't have a whole lot of root crops.
There'll be some root crops. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
If you let we're going to get what we're going to get.
I'm highlighting the things we still need to cover.
Do you want to grow sweet potatoes?
I do want to grow
sweet
potatoes.
How do you feel about doing two split rows of sweet potatoes?
Yeah, let's do that, but let's also confirm we're growing in North Carolina.
Yeah, we're growing in North Carolina for the sweet potatoes.
So if we're growing in North Carolina, I agree. I grow sweet potatoes in Chicago, but if I'm going to be limited to five rows of space and then eating just from the 10 by 10 foot space, then I'll grow these sweet potatoes if they're in North Carolina.
Okay, you got a half row.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually add a trellising system somewhere here.
Okay.
Because I don't want the... you don't need to add it here, but I don't want the sweet potatoes to choke out those beans. Were those beans for you, bush beans or pole beans? So this is what I'm talking about, yeah, right?
So this is part of it too, because you got to think, you got to take sun angle into account.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm actually don't really care for this, but if it was up to me, I would be, it's going to have to be bush beans. It would have to be bush beans. And I mean, the sweet potatoes can't go there if that's the case. So there is that aspect of it.
I would have put the sweet potatoes on the edge again. I know you hated it in your garden, though. Remember when they were all on the grass and you were needing a...
No, I love it. That's what... I mean, that's the only way I do it. Yeah, you want to do the last row of sweet potatoes? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so pick your other half row.
Let's see. I'm going to do... let's do some... let's do... summer squash.
Five?
That feels like so many. Five with the idea of we'll be rotating the planting. We'll succession plant those.
Well, two. So
yeah.
This is one thing that I don't like is that it takes up 4 square feet for the squash in the app. And I usually do 1 to 2 square feet. But it'll be all right. Well,
I think 4 square feet, to be quite frank, is more accurate, though, with the exception of, you know, like the early scallop that we have in the shop, the seed shop, because that grows more upright.
Yeah.
I'd give that 2 square feet.
I'll do watermelons for my section.
Okay. Someone has to.
Damn it. Work.
I feel like this one's pretty shaky.
Yeah, this is not going well.
I feel like we covered the crops pretty well outside of the nightshade family bumping up against each other so far. But I believe that the orientation of the garden, I think we could do better there.
And I would like if also like the watermelon says it takes up 2 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I would like if I could rotate it so that it could go horizontal or vertical. Mm-hmm. So that's one issue that I've had as well. But I can work around that. But yeah, so I put in 4 watermelons because we like watermelon. Actually, you know what? Nope. Mm-hmm. Let's take away 2 of them, and I'll add, pumpkin.
How many rows do you feel like I have left?
I don't know. Just picking stuff. Who cares?
I'm going to take my last row and do strawberries.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
You better hope and pray, because we've already done an episode about strawberries. Them things suck.
Fresh strawberries, strawberry jams. We have little to no. I don't know. A row of blueberry bushes probably would have been better.
Yeah, but you won't get any harvest off that for a couple of years.
You got to plan for the future.
Yeah, this is not, after this season and we starve to death, we won't be friends anymore. So we won't have to worry about growing in a garden together.
We're going to be regular, though, yeah. If nothing else.
I'm going to say that we're going to need some protein. So I'm going to do the cow peas, black-eyed peas.
I thought about peanuts when we first opened up here, but I don't have any experience growing peanuts.
I do. They can go on somewhere. And then we'll finish out my row with good old solid cucumbers.
Good selection. I think you're light on the cow peas, though. But here we are.
No. So I do a 4-foot row of cow peas at my house, and we get about 3 to 4 pounds of them. So that's a fair amount. You know, if you're eating, you know, half a cup at a meal or something, you get quite a bit. So if you look at the way we did it, and can I just go on the record and say we only have 1 tomato plant?
At some point midway through, I was going to ask you about it, but then you got all finicky about adding 3 more new rules and I got distracted and forgot.
Yeah, I need to make adjustments, but now it's all said and done. I would definitely add more tomatoes to it.
So let's just take a beat. So you get 1 change. We're not gonna do the change, but looking at what we have, which we have peppers, tomatoes, peppers both sweet and hot, tomatoes, okra, chard, sweet corn. I assume that's what that was. Bush beans, some type of summer squash like zucchini, watermelon, pumpkin, strawberries, cowpeas for protein, cucumbers, and then finally we have sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
One thing.
Of anything that I would change, I would take out the strawberries.
Okay.
And let me say this, the pumpkins are Seminole pumpkins, so they're like a butternut squash.
Okay.
I would take out the strawberries.
I would have done, I'd remove that half a row. We have four half rows of corn, and I would put in another tomato plant.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I would take out the strawberries, and then if you wanted to do that, that would give us room to add in three more tomato plants.
Yeah. The placement of them, again, would need to be different because we really don't want to plant. If you drop a tomato in there, I'm pretty sure that we actually can already see that they're combative. Because, again, similar pests, they're in a similar family when it comes to, maybe they're not in a similar family, but they definitely do
generate similar pests. So the app has changed now, and some tomatoes are giving more space than others, so we can actually play around with varieties.
Yeah, like Aroma is going to take up less space, yep. I think it is what I was finding when I was looking at it. So, I mean, this is actually a pretty good exercise, although, again, I give us somewhere between a C minus, only because we're on the spot doing it.
Yeah.
If we had to sit down and really plan this out, I'd feel really good about it. But it shows you, like, depending on your space, like sometimes we talk about our small spaces, how do you really kind of follow the guidelines, the recommendations for gardening, and then get something that's going to be a diverse garden? You know, so if we had one vegetable per square foot, we'd run out of things to plant. But that's not how gardens work. You know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if we had another 30 minutes and we could just rearrange this, I think we'd have a solid plan. I think we could figure this out and take the two rows out, add in the tomatoes. I think we would have something that would go good. And again, playing with varieties and stuff like that, you can get in there. I mean, we know looking at this, like technically there's 2 square feet here we could add something in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is changes to be made. The only combatives that we did have was corn and peppers were combative and corn, peppers and tomatoes were all combative and we put those next to each other. And then the other thing that was combative was the melons and the pumpkins. And then as far as companions go, it was the basil, peppers are companions, corn and beans are companions, squash and beans are companions, which we all knew that. The beans and the sweet potatoes were companions, and the beans and the pumpkins were companions. So if we look at that.
And the beans and the sweet potatoes, you already said. Thank you. Sorry.
Did I?
I think you already said it. As I said it out loud, I realized I just heard that.
Yeah. So we could, you know, we could get in there and really, and beans and cucumbers. Mm-hmm. So we could get in there and really adjust this out. Just mm-hmm. right. You know, obviously we could put all of our beans together and stuff like that and really make it a lot better. So it's an interesting concept to do. It's a good practice as you go and just trying to work off of memory and just see like, hey, if you could have a garden, how would you want it? And then how would it need to be? You know,
this also is helpful, I believe, if you're thinking about expanding your garden. So what does expansion get you? Right.
Well, that's what I've did that a lot when I was expanding my garden, because I wanted to look at it and say, like, because I was running out of space. And I said, well, if I want to grow more, what's it going to look like if I have this amount of space I'm willing to do? Is it worth it to add to it? And it turned out it was. So.
And just one final note on this. So we get through this and then I looked ahead to say, what about crop rotation next year? Throw the whole thing away.
Yeah, that's coming soon. So we'll get into that. Yeah. So that being said, well, and let me say that if we took this plan and we reorganized it, we could work in the crop rotation. No problem. Yep. No questions. But this was a good exercise. So we'll get a screenshot. We'll put it up for you guys. All that good stuff. And also, I will help. You know, first of all, use the code below to get a discount on all of the stuff for all the plans for the Planter app. And then also get ready for this. We got a question of the day.
Question of the day.
So the question of the day is actually from Facebook. It's from the Community Gardens, Backyard Gardens, Community Gardens Facebook page. You're welcome to join. It's free of charge. Come join the conversation. And Caleb asks, what are your thoughts on fruit trees in containers?
I support fruit trees in containers. I think...
How are you going to give me a hard time? Sorry. How are you going to give me a hard time every show and you don't even do it when I give you the opportunity?
Caleb, buddy, hey, how you doing?
Every time you give me doo-doo.
So I only because I've seen people do it on the interweb, right? My first time out for blueberries was a complete flop. And I wanted to grow. I tried to grow them in containers. That, complete flop.
That's not a tree.
Oh.
That's
well,
a bush.
I kind of. That's a bush or whatever. Anyway, well, apples, now you know what apples, happened
pears,
with me, blueberries.
Peach, pears, anything like that? Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to say I knew what fruit trees were, but clearly my example demonstrates that maybe I don't. So, yeah, your peaches, your plums, your apples. I think that a lot of companies now offer kind of some of the smaller width and height of these types of trees. You know, I don't believe a full size apple tree that would normally grow on the ground that you're going to put it in a container and have the best luck. I think this is also one of those things where I encourage you to read up on, speak to sellers before you try it. But I support it because I really feel like if you're growing in containers predominantly, or, you know, you have a mixture as far as growing mediums, you should still be able to enjoy fruit. The reason why I haven't ventured out into fruit trees is because of the animals around. And yeah, that's kind of it, you know. But if I felt like fighting them all season long, I would absolutely have some fruit trees in containers.
Well, lucky for everybody listening to the show today, I am a bona fide expert in trees and pots. After all, that is the definition of the word bonsai. So everybody, take a drink, because here we go. You can absolutely grow fruit and fruit trees and you can in containers, and you can absolutely get a harvest off of them. I've seen it happen before. It's very popular with orange trees, persimmon trees, what's the funky taste one? Pomegranates, crab apples, stuff like that. It's very, very common to see those in very, very small pots producing fruit. The key is they're not producing a lot of fruit. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember, and you guys are just going to have to deal with me on this because this is my jam. I am a self-professed expert in this. They are grown in very small pots. So if you go, and I encourage you guys, you know, you guys all grow stuff. So look up, you know, bonsai fruit trees, and you're going to see them in a multitude of very small pots. And so, not to get too technical, but you've got Japanese style, Chinese style. Japanese style is really small pots. Chinese is bigger, but still small pots. But if you take that and you say, throw that out the window and say, all right, I'm going to get a 50, what's the big one? A 25 gallon pot? Is that the big one? Or is it 50? Whatever, that's the, like, the big tree pots. You could absolutely get a 7-foot tree in the grow in a pot like that and get somewhat of a harvest. You could probably make a couple apple pies off that over a number of years of growing that tree to maturity. The key behind growing stuff in a pot is just like growing food. You've got to keep the soil fresh. You've got to keep it happy. You've got to keep it fed, and you got to keep it well watered. But you also can encourage, if you grow something like this in a pot, you can encourage growth through it via root training, which means trimming roots periodically. A lot of times what you do is your tree will get to a point, you will pull it out, and then you're going to cut off about a quarter to half of the roots, put it back in, and then it'll grow. And what that does is when you take that, because trees grow thick roots, right? We all know, like, you trip over a you've tripped over a tree root, right? The tree root is actually, that is an anchor root. But when you cut that root off, what it grows next are feeder roots. So by taking those roots and cutting them like that over a period of, you don't do it every year, you do it every 2-3 years, you're going to encourage it to grow really fine feeder roots so it can uptake more nutrients. And that's when you're going to start really getting your produce off of it. So you have to quell your expectations about what you're going to get, but you are going to get some kind of harvest off of it. So the bigger the pot, clearly the bigger the harvest. And citrus trees are very common too. And if you take it another step further and you look into variety, anything with a smaller fruit, you will yield more harvest.
So I have a colleague, his brother is very big into growing plants and mostly indoor plants, but he has in a container an apple tree that produces 3 different types of apples from the same tree. They've done some slicing, obviously, and it's probably about 5 feet tall. And if I had to guess, maybe a 20 gallon, maybe up to a 30 gallon pot. You know, it's not a huge pot. Now, I don't know how many of the, like, how many apple pies they get out of that, you know, one season. I'm not sure. I think when you get to the point where things are larger, you know, there's just some gravity things you have to consider, you know? So
what do you mean by gravity?
The weight of the pot. Are you somewhat burying the pot, you know, so it doesn't topple over, to be quite frank? Some of the smaller fruit, like your lemons and, you know, your limes and things, those are more like a bush than a tree to me anyway. So, I mean, I think that the answer in my book is still yes, absolutely possible. And see young being for all of the technical.
Yeah. And as far as what you just mentioned, you can take your tree and trust me, you can do this. You can take your tree. It grows. Let's say it grows 8 feet, cut it down to 2 feet. And what that'll do is it stops. It's called apical dominance, and it will spread roots out wider, or spread the limbs out wider, and it'll start to bush out and grow up at the same time. But you can continue to do this, you know, over the years, and you will end up with a very nice plant in a pot. So, you know, you just have to retrain the way you think about this. So go ahead. So, yeah, you know, I'm done. Sorry. That's like my jam, everybody. I'm sorry. I've been growing bonsai since I was in like the 7th grade, and I've actually gone to a college for it. So that's like my jam, but I won't talk about it anymore. So, everybody, thank you so much. If you want to leave us a question, you can do so on the Facebook page. You can also do it. We're trying to transition away from Spotify. So use the email address bygquestion. The one with the S was taken. So it's bygquestion, whatever, @gmail.com. Don't put whatever in there or else you won't get it through. And it'll just help us keep them all. And, you know, the fewer places we can get them, the easier we are to get them, that we can answer your questions on the air, live, and something else. So anyways, become a patron, subscriber, or buy some seeds from us. We'd love for you to do that. This show was sponsored by the Planter app, so use the discount code below. And remember, everybody, if you don't do that stuff, at least you did this. You're learning to grow, and you're going to grow for change.
Continue to listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, but just don't write questions there. Yeah. And we'll see you.
Now you know why people feel like celebrating at harvest time.
All over the world, people have feasting and good times when the crops have been gathered in.
Thanks for checking out the show. If you like what we're doing and you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at patreon.com/backyardgardens, or you can be an Apple subscriber. And in both of those, you'll get an extra episode every month. You can also make a one-time PayPal donation with the link below. And you can get all kinds of gardening gear, like t-shirts and mugs and cups, from the link below at Teespring. And we have an Amazon store which has all the products that we use and recommend in our gardens, and it helps support our show. And we also add to this list periodically, so be sure to check it out periodically to see if there's anything that you need for your garden. Everything that you do, including a like and a subscribe and even a review, will help us learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.